I'm doing.
That's all you're doing? It probably will be. I know that's what you're going to do.
Well, she can talk. We're on, right? We're on the air. Yeah, see, she just did the lead in. I won.
Did the lead in.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Health and Wellness Hour once again. It is that time of the... it's a time of the month. I was already chastised for saying that on my Facebook Live. Wait, oh, there's the camera over there. Yes. some of my dirty-minded friends all think alike, but
I didn't want to say anything on the Facebook Live, but you know, I did hear the comment.
You know, I'm putting my phone in my pocket so you don't hear it.
It's the best time of the month because it is our health and wellness hour.
Yes,
correct. COARadio.com.
Yes, and we are here with Engineer Art. This
Yay.
Evening.
Good evening. Good
evening. There you go. Art, and you're off camera, right, Art?
Usually.
You designed it that way.
And we have you, Danny Coleman.
I am here. Woo! That's right. Me, Danny Coleman. And Marianne Costello.
Yay! But we have a very special guest this evening.
We do.
Who's that?
It's you.
Oh, hello.
And for those of you who are not familiar.
You are the same guy we met in the parking lot, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, we brought him in. Actually, and he wasn't in cuffs either.
Actually, our guest is probably still in the parking lot. Is he just?
I just came to use the restroom. I didn't even know. Put headphones
good, good,
on
good.
Me.
Come on, come on, come on.
But we have a very special guest this evening. And I'm very excited that you are here. And he is the author of the Pasta Family children's book series. Mm-hmm. And a writer. And an actor. Ladies and gentlemen, nice warm welcome for our special guest, Michael Ciccolini.
Hello.
Yay.
Yay me.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank
okay,
you.
Mike, this is the part of the show where we just kind of sit back and you do whatever you want.
I would like to do an interpretive dance.
Nice.
Without recovery.
Well, go ahead.
Okay.
I'd like to see that. See, you're speechless again.
I have to say, I went to visit you last week.
Yes.
Tuesday, right? A week ago?
Yes.
Gee, Art, how'd that feel?
That was
sweet, huh? He unplugged something.
He did unplug something.
if we're still on the air right now. I went to visit Marianne. Michael, I went to visit Marianne. And she beat me up pretty good. See, the beautiful thing about going to see Marianne for a massage. Now, for those of you listening or watching at home, you will understand that Marianne is a certified holistic health practitioner, massage therapist, Reiki master.
Crime fighter.
Crime fighter. Yes! Correct. She is a crime fighter. What else is it that you is involved with that?
It's a lot involved with that.
I know.
I listen to a lot of things. They do clinical nutrition, too, as
That's
well.
That's it. I knew there was one more. That was my apologies. You are a best-selling author.
Yes, I'm so excited.
You are. Ironically, we have another best-selling author. You're a best-selling? Yeah, you're a best-selling
he
author.
Is.
We're
of course
making
he is.
You one right now, right?
I'm James Patterson.
Ah! I knew he was in the parking lot.
Those children's books just took another turn.
And you know, and you were the producer of the DVD, the Extreme Chakra Cleansing. So, you know, you've got stuff going on there. So I go to you for a massage.
Yes, you did.
Because I was hurting. I haven't had one since November of 2016.
Yeah,
2015.
It was a long time.
And
why would you take such a long time between feeling bad? And getting a massage.
Well, because for me to drive from where I live to where her office is, I need like 3 days off of work. And it's you know, to get that kind of quality, I need to save up like for years on end before I get there.
Wow.
But no, so Marianne gave me a massage, and there's three stages to a Marianne massage. The first stage is she beat you up. While you're on the table, medical massage. At the moment, at times it was painful, but it hurt so good, in the words of John Mellencamp. And then...
Painful pleasure.
This was consensual. You asked to be beat up.
Yes, I said, Mary,
okay.
Go ahead.
We just want to make sure.
And she's like, am I applying too much pressure? Just say so, I'll stop.
He was trying to be macho.
I was gasping for breath. But then she, then the second phase is like, you know, you walk out of there, you're like jello. I had to sit down for, I don't know what, a good 20 minutes yeah. before I was like, whoa.
I wouldn't let him drive home yet.
Then the third is the next day, you kind of are sore in spots that you didn't know you had. And then after that, it's like, ah.
Yeah.
And you feel good. So, see, I'm still at the tail end of the feel-good stage right mm-hmm. now. And it's been a week.
Yes, so, it is.
But, yes, that's what Marianne does. So, if you want to call us tonight and ask Marianne how she can beat you up, you can do so at 609-241-7103.
You know why I want people to call? I've been putting show trivia all over social media about you, Michael. And one of my questions that I really want somebody to answer, because I'm so excited about this for you, is what famous dog movie did our special guest, Michael Ciccolini, star in? And as an extra bonus, what was his character? And if you can call in at 609-241-7103 with those answers, you will win prizes. But you have to answer both questions to get two prizes.
Did you just sneak a peek at that number on the wall?
No, it's 609. Did you see that, Michael? 7103.
There was a little glance.
There's a glance. You caught that. That's right.
I'm not actually, the camera's right there. Did anybody even notice that's what I'm looking at?
Right. See? She's the best.
See? The camera's right there.
All right.
You would know about camera angles, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You see the camera there, right?
I can see it.
Okay, good.
It's getting my bad side, by the way. So, just, you know, wanted to let you know.
Mine's the front, so that's not a problem. That's why I'm sitting this way. So, tell us about you, Michael.
I am from Newark, New Jersey, originally. I hope you don't have a problem with that.
Because, no.
All right, good. Okay. I always have to ask that, because Newark has the reputation that it has, and I don't really know why. But when you say you're from Newark, people are get a little scared. I saw you back away a little bit.
I did.
But no, it's really nice. I grew up in a largely Italian-American neighborhood. And after high school, after Catholic high school, I really, really wanted to get out of Newark after Catholic high school. And I went to the University of Southern California to the film school. And I spent a lot of years in Los Angeles writing and performing. Very, very long time. And then about 8 years ago, my mother, who was still alive then, in Newark, gave me a call, and she had an idea for a book. And she told me about it, and then she called it The Pasta Family, and it was basically about a little girl made out of macaroni, because my mom knew all the shapes and stuff. It was about a little girl who didn't feel loved by her family, not because she wasn't loved, but because there were so many kids in the house that she just felt invisible. And she wanted me to write the story. And I asked her to write it. I just wanted to sort of engage her. And I said, well, why don't you write it and send it to me, and then I'll draw it, and we'll do a book. I didn't know, honestly, if she was going to do that or not, if she was going to really sit down and write it. And she did. And now I had spent years in Los Angeles working on how to tell a story and three-act structure and all the technical stuff that you have to know to actually tell a story. And my mom, who had no training, no background, sent me in the mail, back when people used to send things in regular mail, that's how long ago this was, she sent in the mail to my house in Los Angeles, on, you know, legal pad, she wrote out the entire story of the first Pasta Family book. And it was great. It had everything that a story is supposed to have. You know, everything that like a really technical writer, you know, would pick it apart and say, oh, it needs this and it needs this, and there's supposed to be an act break here and a character change here. She had all that stuff in there, but she didn't know any of those terms. She just wrote this really beautiful, sweet, simple story with no writing background whatsoever. And I just thought it was incredible. And then I sat down and I drew it. And the next Christmas, when I came home, we basically put it together as a book, which took a lot of figuring out. That was a huge learning curve. I had never done anything like this. I had written screenplays, but I had never done anything like this. But I did have a background in comics, and I grew up loving comic books. So I thought, how different can this be? You know, it's basically a comic book, except there's no bubbles. I mean, there's dialogue, but there's no bubbles. So that was the way that I approached it. So we figured out how to do it as a book, and Amazon has a great service called CreateSpace. And what CreateSpace does is they take your file of your book and they physically turn it into a book, and it looks fantastic. And then they sell it on Amazon. So that was how it started. We put together this book, put it on Amazon, and then literally by word of mouth, it became a thing. And so we started doing more books. And when we were in the middle of book number 5 in 2011, my mom passed away, but we had planned out 15 books. So I had 15 ideas for 15 books. So I wanted to honor that promise, and I did get to 15 books. But once I got to 15 books, I realized there's a lot more stories to tell. I was beginning to do spin-offs, because the little girl who's the star of the book series, she's just a normal little girl, but she's also a part-time superhero called Gravy Girl. So I spun the Gravy Girl books off into a different series, still related to the Pasta family, but just a different series of books. And now I'm at book number, there's 22 books now, and I'm working on the 23rd book, and there might even be more after that. So it was this very simple, sweet idea that my mom had, and we've gotten so many stories out of it. I'm as surprised as anybody.
So Gravy Girl.
Yes.
Is that as in gravy versus sauce?
Yes, that was where it came from. So this is and everybody watching might not know that, but that's a big thing. See, I know it's a big thing in Newark. I didn't know it was a big thing in Jersey wide. Italians call normal people call it tomato sauce. Italians call it gravy.
Right.
But other people call it sauce, and that was always...
I'll tell you, that's a big debate in the Philadelphia area.
Oh, it's okay.
It's gravy.
And it is gravy. Although when I was in Los Angeles, everyone called it sauce. I never knew what they were talking about. It's like, it's gravy. Let's settle that right now. It's gravy.
Well, if you were eating a sausage sandwich with peppers and onions, would you put sauce or gravy on it?
You'd put gravy on it.
Right, because that goes with sausage and peppers and onions.
Right, but well,
if you want a sauce, it could be barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
But that's what a sauce
Thanks
is.
Thanks for your backup.
You know, gravy is gravy, and you put it on macaroni, and that's right. Really, that's just the way it is.
And thus,
Gravy Girl.
So, and she's a superhero. What is her superpower?
She has the basic sort of generic Supergirl kind of powers, but the point of her character is that she's chosen and given these powers because she has the biggest heart in the entire world. And she's always wonders about, why was I chosen for this? Why do I get to do this? And in the origin book, I did an origin book of Gravy Girl. She basically gets her powers from the sun. The sun talks in these books. The sun is an actual character. And he tells her, because you have the biggest heart in all the world, I can trust you with this responsibility. And so he gives her these powers. The sun gives little Annalini one gajillionth of his power, which if you're a person is like your Supergirl basically. And the key to Gravy Girl is that the books have a lot of action. There is a lot of punching and kicking and smashing stuff, but that's never how she wins. She always wins by doing something kind or figuring out what the real problem is behind the villain. Because all of the villains in the book, in the Gravy Girl books, they always get redeemed at the end. So they're never villains by the end of the book. They always are turned into good guys because of her, because of her heart, and because she has compassion for everyone, even the bad guys. She never considers a bad guy to be a bad guy, just to be somebody who's misunderstood. So she always sort of figures out their psychology and winds up helping them and redeeming them in the end.
I wonder if that would work with the IRS.
You know what, though? That goes with my philosophy. In this case, behind every good villain is a better woman. See, boy. And Gravy Girl to the rescue. I love it.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Health and Wellness Hour here on COARadio.com. I am Danny Coleman. My co-host is Marianne Costello.
Hello.
And our guest tonight is author Michael Ciccolini. Author.
Writer.
Interpretive dancer.
Interpretive dancer.
I still want to see that interpretive dance. I might take him up on that.
609-241-7103. Now, we are giving something away if what?
If the question could be answered. Our special guest, Michael Ciccolini, is also an actor. What famous dog movie did he play in? And what was the name of his character?
Now, I wonder how many people have already Googled it, but they're all scared to call in.
Well, they could be scared to call in.
Probably Art's fault. Art probably like harasses him on the phone, right?
Art, do you harass everybody?
No.
No.
And can we say that it's not Old Yeller or Lassie?
Oh.
Or Benji.
Or Benji.
Wonder if or Cujo.
If Timmy's still in the well.
Just saying.
Cujo.
Remember Cujo?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Uh-huh. I actually...
It's just the opposite of Cujo.
We were discussing those type of dogs earlier in the program, or earlier before we went on the air.
Yes, we were.
And the one that I had used to walk through the woods that separated the home I lived in's backyard from the cemetery. And he would go wander through the cemetery. And because there was all sorts of fluid leaking out of him, and he had a penchant for biting his tongue, you know, and it'd be like blood mixed with slobber, and
clue number one.
Correct. And, you know, he would, you know, little kids thought he was what we were talking about. This is ridiculous.
Can't say it. Sorry. Not just yet.
You're torturing me.
I love it. I've never seen him at a loss for words like this. This really? Is a first, yes.
And others would think it was Cujo. You know, so it was like,
It's like $20,000 pyramid right now watching you.
Put my hands all over the place?
Yes, and you can't say what you're looking at behind my head.
No, I cannot. Well, I can.
Which is the phone number?
Yes.
609-241-7103?
Correct.
It's all right.
See, I don't even have to sneak a peek. I can just look directly at you.
Sorry.
So your mom writes these books, and then she passes away, unfortunately, and you take over.
Yes.
Are you under any obligation now? Are you under a contract with Amazon, or is it just when you feel like it? How's that CreateSpace work?
Now, I'm
assuming you've graduated from CreateSpace.
All the books are done by CreateSpace. Everything,
oh, okay.
Everything that's on Amazon is put together physically by CreateSpace. So if you order a physical book from Amazon, CreateSpace is the company, an offshoot of Amazon that actually puts the book together.
I was unaware of that.
Yeah, it's an incredible service, and it's great for people who self-publish. I know a lot of people who do it that way.
I love the covers. They're very colorful. That's why I'm holding them up. They're fantastic.
Thank you.
I really do love these. And you know what I like? I had to text Michael, and he texted me back one of these characters that I know he got my text, and it was really cool. It made my day, by the way. I thought that was cool.
Gravy Girl strikes again.
It's Gravy Girl, not Sauce Girl. Get that straight, because I'm going to test you on this on the next
show.
Maybe
she's from Sausalito.
Possibly.
Absolutely. Where's the books based?
I keep it deliberately vague, but it's always an urban setting. It takes place in a city. To me, it's Newark because that's where I grew up. Mm-hmm. But I just keep it. It's, you know, it's any American city.
Okay. Now, so you were an actor. You're still an actor.
Yes.
And you're an author.
Yes. And an interpretive dancer.
And an interpretive dancer. Right. We're going to see some of that soon.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, whenever you want, just break out into it.
I just might.
The theme song. I like to see an interpretive dance to Here Comes the Sun.
Well, I'd love to see that. I'm still waiting.
Maybe Michael and I will do a duet.
You know what I think he's waiting for? I think you're waiting for a massage. Then after that, you'll do your interpretive dance.
That would be incredible.
Whoa. I would probably need another one after I was done interpretive dancing.
By the way, he was very well behaved through the beating that he says I gave him, but I didn't beat on him at all. You know what's funny? I just sat there and said, does this hurt? If you stopped breathing or face turned beet red, that wasn't my fault.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Look at my chin.
You did that all by yourself.
But isn't that what abusers always say? It wasn't my fault.
Well, is it really how?
Okay.
It's treated very, very well. And you know what was great? When he walked in, he could hardly turn his neck. When he walked out, he had great range of motion after
that. I was like
an
owl.
So would you say, as his abuser, that he was asking for it? That it had nothing to do with
him? He asked for it all the time, Michael. Thank you. Okay. I really like him.
I just want to clear things up.
I absolutely love him.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
As my abuser. Did you catch that part that he said?
Yeah, but you know what?
So you're basically openly admitting that you abused me.
Not at all. And actually, because I abused him so much that when he had to say that he had to Uber home, thank you very much, I
was like Jell-O. Have you ever seen Jell-O drive a car?
Well, that was probably because I gave him an infusion tea, which is hemp-infused teas
that
helps with pain.
Is that like a roofie?
Yes.
Well, to him, it was a roofie.
She roofied me. Now I have no job.
And
either.
He absolutely loved it. And I gave you that for the ride home as well.
Uh-huh. And I drank that on the ride home.
Right. So I couldn't have abused you that bad because I tried to make up for it.
But yet you drank something and you weren't entirely sure what it was. You just
She just gave it to me. Okay. So drink this.
Because you know why?
Question no one.
It was a hemp-infused lemonade by Infusion Teas. And it is absolutely wonderful. And it helps with inflammation, discomfort. So that way, if you were hurting after that, I tried to give you something to help alleviate.
So what exactly does that mean when something is hemp-infused?
Well, it's taking the hemp plant and we're infusing it into a tea. Because if you actually tasted hemp by itself, it's not very pleasant. So they made a lemonade out of this one.
Isn't it rope?
Manila hemp.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. It is.
There was a show, one of those Trick My Ride or whatever it was, on one of those things, right? And they were doing a vehicle for Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he comes in and they're like, "See, Governor, we've got these hemp seats made from the finest quality hemp." He looks at me, he's like, "Y'all are making me break my own laws. I cannot have hemp seats. I'm the governor." So, I'm not going to go there.
No, you're
not. But we can go to addiction.
Yes, we can.
Why is it? And I'm not saying this is you in any way, shape, or form.
No, we wouldn't want to think that.
I would never do that. Why is it that people who
maybe could be me, but are definitely not me?
No, definitely not.
Never.
Okay.
Why is it that people in the creative realm, writers, entertainers, musicians, performers, mimes, why is it, do you think, that there's a heavy addiction rate?
I think there's a couple of reasons. One of them is, I think, more of an excuse than a reason, which is, I know a lot of creative people who feel like they need some sort of chemical or some sort of pharmaceutical to bring the creativity out of them. I don't agree with that. And I used to do that. And I know from personal experience that you don't need that to do it. I mean, yes, it can help you loosen up. Yes, it could temporarily help you to think a different way than you might be thinking. But that's a matter of relaxation more than ingesting any kind of substance. But the other reason, I think, and it's a more legitimate reason, is that it's hard. It's hard to be a creative person in this world. I'm sure you guys know that. It's not a normal thing. You know, you're kind of off the beaten path, no matter where you're from. I mean, just speaking for myself, coming from Newark and being into creative stuff and the kinds of things that I was into in movies and comics and all that, that was frowned upon. That was not a cool thing to be a part of. So you're already isolated just for liking the stuff that you like. Yet you can't really do anything about it because that's the way that you're wired. That's the way that you are. I don't ever remember a time of my life since I've been conscious where I haven't been drawing or doodling or doing something creative. It's just the way that I was. But it's not a particularly normal thing. The arts are not as celebrated as I think they should be. And because you're isolated, you are living in your own little world, and you get so immersed in that world that you don't ever want to come out of it. And sometimes substances help with keeping you in that place because it's an easier place to live in. It's when you're doing what you love, you don't want to stop doing it. And here's my example. I worked a lot of different day jobs and office jobs, and I worked at a public relations firm for 15 years. That was my, you know, 9 to 5, my day job. I hated it. I hated every second of it. You know, no offense to anybody I worked with or that I worked for, but I hated it because it was not what I loved. I had to do what I loved early in the morning and then late at night. I would write comedy sketches in the morning and I would perform them at night with sketch comedy groups in Los Angeles. But during the day, you know, when you had to do the stuff you had to do to eat, etc., those hours of the day, I barely remember them. They were just something you had to grit your teeth and you had to sort of get through.
Right.
And that's something that I find that in most artistic people I know who are doing a job, you know, they're doing a day job because they have to pay their bills. It's just miserable when that's a huge chunk of your day that you would rather be devoting to your art or arts or something that you love. And that's another reason to self-medicate. At the end of a day like that, in a job that you don't like and that you're unhappy with, it's easy to walk into a bar and have a drink and try to erase that and then get to work doing what you love doing.
I guess the key is have a drink, not 10 drinks. You know, not every night get to the point where you need that to lean on.
Right. Yes, but it is hard to have just one. Because a lot of the artistic people I know who are actors and writers, they're just naturally addictive personalities because they're so manic to begin with because they're so excited about what they're doing. It's hard to shift gears and have just one drink.
I was saying, I guess to you, maybe the last time I was on here, Art, I know I've said it before that, you know, when I was unemployed after I hurt my back, you know, I started once I was able to get up and around and I was out of work, but I started hitting the music scenes heavy because I'm a musician. So open mics and, you know, you go in and people would be like, hey, let me buy you a beer. Next thing you know, you got 5 or 6 drinks lined up.
Right. Like, oh my God. You lose count.
Yeah. And I said, whoa, you know, sleep until noon, getting up saying, now I need a Bloody Mary, you know.
You work in the club scene was a way different. You know, it was in your face. It was right
always there. Right there. Yeah,
but that's where you have a choice to make a lifestyle change.
Correct.
That's what health and wellness is about. It's a lifestyle change. You have a choice whether you want to or not. So to allude to what you're saying is that, you know, to be creative, you are correct. I've heard that a lot, that people will turn to different types of substances, you know, to be able to, they think it makes them more creative. But in the end, you find out that when you're working your passion and it is your passion, the creativity just comes naturally.
Right. The creativity doesn't come from the drug or the alcohol at all.
Right.
It's just a way of relaxing more quickly so you can access your creativity. So you have to figure out a way to do it without going overboard in terms of substances. But it's difficult. It's like you said, you have to make that choice.
You do.
And a lot of times you don't make that choice until you hit a wall, you know, literally and figuratively. And then you're like, I can't keep living like this.
Right.
Now you've starred in a movie in a very popular series. So I'm sure that sort of thing afterwards was prevalent.
Sure.
You know, and the parties and things of that nature. So, you know, you have to decide when enough is enough. Some people can, some people cannot.
Right. And I got to a place personally where I just, some of the things that I saw just frankly scared me. So I was scared into not doing a lot of the other stuff that I could have explored because I saw what it did to people and I saw what it did to really smart, you know, really bright people and how it damaged them. You know, I knew a couple of people out there who they did some real damage to themselves and they're not the same anymore.
Right.
And they don't have that same fire anymore. And it was all in the name of, going to extremes because they thought going to a certain extreme, you know, physically or emotionally or mentally, that would somehow feed into their art and make them better and make them a better actor and an artist. And that's just, that becomes this sort of hamster wheel that's really hard to get off of.
For the person that reminds me of that, that always comes to mind when I think of exactly what you just said, is Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
He was one of the most, I had a teacher in high school, poetry class, you know, and he was a kind of a, you know, hip cat type, to, you know, really related to the students. Well, everybody loved this guy. He got teacher of the year all the time. And he used to call Morrison a perverted genius who just had no self-control. And, you know, and that's how it happens. I mean, you know, again, 609-241-7103, and you can win
2 prizes. But you know what? Because I do want so badly to talk about this movie because it is so personal.
Oh, now I see.
Oh, my God. It's so personal. So, what I'd like to say is that, again, I'm going to give one more shot for 2 prizes, and that is, what famous dog movie did our special guest here, Michael Ciccolini, star in, and what was his character? I really want to know. Again, 609-241-7103.
Call in now.
But in the meantime, I also want to mention our musical director is still missing. And I actually heard from him. And he's actually working on the new LP, Rich Talanda.
Rich Talanda is our musical director.
How long has he been missing?
A couple of weeks now. It's been about 2 or 3 shows.
It's more like Where's Waldo?
Well,
I've found him on 6 milk cartons so far.
I found him on the post office wall, but I didn't want to say anything. But here he is. So that way, for anybody who needs to see that picture, there it is.
If you've seen this man,
but
call
609-241. But you know what? I'm very excited about Rich Talanda and Flying Dreams, because did you hear the latest?
No.
Our musical director made the front cover of Ion Indie Magazine for April.
Oh.
Was so excited featuring them at the Cutting Room, had an interview with Rich Talanda and also their bassist and attorney, Ron Beanstock. And it's a great article, and if you go to Ion Indie Magazine and you actually click on it, it actually opens and plays the songs. Oh, we have a call.
See? When you threaten them, they call in. Oh, are we good?
Scared him away.
Oh, they hung up?
No, please call back if you called in.
My Lord.
But in the meantime, I'd like to tell you that in May, our musical director, this LP here will be up on the Orchard in May. For downloads, digital download, and it's a very exciting time for Rich Talanda and Flying Dreams. And we have a first caller.
We have, yes, we do. Hello. You're there. Welcome to the Health and Wellness Hour. Who is this?
This is Donna.
Who?
Donna.
Oh, Donna. How are you?
Oh, Donna.
Good.
Oh, Donna. Oh, wait, sorry.
So, Donna, we have a trivia question. Are you calling in to answer that trivia question?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so Michael Ciccolini is here. What famous dog movie did he star in?
Beethoven.
Okay, and do
Beethoven 3.
She's got it. Yeah. All right, yes, we have a winner.
I was going to have to go to the judges.
Okay, and here's the bonus part. Do you know what character he played?
Tommy.
She got it.
Awesome.
Right.
Awesome. Bring that bell over there.
I know. Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank God. Now we can talk about it.
Now we can definitely talk about it. Thank you so much. And Donna, I would love you to send her information so we can send you your free gifts. And what you have won is the DVD, Extreme Chakra Cleansing for a Supercharged Life. And it has our musical director, Rich Talanda, who did all the musical compositions.
Chakra Khan.
We call him Chakra Khan. Yes, and myself. And you also won a copy of The Pasta Family Prevents Gravy Girl, not Sauce Girl, but Gravy Girl Strikes Again from Michael Ciccolini himself. So congratulations for being our winner.
Well, Michael, will you be signing that copy to
send along? Of course I'll be
signing
that copy.
See? Nothing like putting you on a spot, Michael. That's okay.
No problem.
And we will make sure that you get both of those. But thank you so much for calling in.
Well, does she have a question for Michael? Donna, do you have a question?
Yes. Is Michael going to do a pasta thing on nutrition?
Is Michael going to do...
Are you going to do one on nutrition? We couldn't hear you.
Do a storyline on nutrition and eating better with the pasta family.
Oh, a book on nutrition.
The current book that I'm working on, I'm halfway through the current book, it actually is partially about that. So, yes, yes. And I don't know, I think it's amazing that you asked that question. I am working on something in that vein right now.
It's fantastic, especially teaching children from an early age and getting them interested not only in reading, but learning about nutrition and all. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, does Donna have to send her address to you at Neo Zoe?
Yes, she does. And that would be, Donna, do you have a pen that I can give you that information?
Sure.
Okay. If you send an email to Marianne, it's M-A-R-Y-A-N-N, at Neos Zoe, that's NEOSZOE.com. I will make sure that you get your prizes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, and thanks so much for calling in, and thank you for speaking to our special guest.
What you guys are doing with this show is wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Why, thank you. Be well, Donna. Live long and prosper.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
There you go. Another happy caller, Art. The only happy caller tonight, Art. We got to get more. 609-241-7103.
Well, we'll start on the next question because you actually already gave the answer, Michael. How many volumes are already done in the pasta family? That's our next trivia. But I'm so excited that Donna called in. You have no idea because you know why, Michael?
Why?
For our listeners right now that probably can't see the visual, I am opening up my DVD collection, and I kid you not, the very first one is all five movies of Beethoven. And then we had just Beethoven 1 and 2. And then there was even Beethoven's Big Break. So I am a big Beethoven fan. Absolutely. I owned a St. Bernard. His name was Toby, named after Beethoven. And when I was so excited when you said you would do the show, and then to know that you're in Beethoven's third, actually. That movie was fantastic, by the way.
Thank you. It is the Return of the Jedi of the Beethoven movies.
And that's where we find out the entire history of Beethoven?
It's where all of your questions are answered.
Well, you were telling us before we went on the air that they used 6 St. Bernards in the filming of that?
Yes, they used a bunch of different Beethovens because every different dog served a different function. They had one dog that just ran. He just ran. One dog made faces. They would tell him to make a face, and he would make a face. He was better behaved than some of the actors. They had the original Beethoven, the one from the first movie, what he did was he jumped on top of people. That seemed to be his job, because at the end of the movie, he has to jump on top of me. He's attacking me because I'm trying to kill him. So, and the way that they did that was, I didn't know any of this, by the way, and I had a lifelong fear of dogs. So that was my first first big job is working with a St. Bernard. So I was terrified. But the way they did it was, I mean, I showed up that day and they were like, okay, the dog is going to attack you. I'm like, oh, okay, sure. What am I supposed to say? No, I don't want to do this. So the way that they did it was they taped a bunch of hot dogs to my jacket. And when they yelled action, the original Beethoven ran over to me and put his paws on me. And because he's so heavy, I fell over. And then he would very gently eat the hot dogs and walk away. He was like the sweetest animal in the world. But it looked so great. It looked like he was tackling me and trying to kill me.
They do look so nasty, but they're like gentle giants.
They're gentle giants. Oh, mine was like a lap dog. I have bruises all over my legs to prove it. He used to just try to curl up. But, you know, they tried to make him a little vicious in Beethoven, but you can't.
Yeah, they're too sweet. They're so endearing.
That's what Cujo is for.
But you know what I loved? In one of your final scenes is when, this might be the scene that you're talking about
the
with the hot dogs.
The scene where we find out that Darth Vader is my father?
Yeah, yes, basically. That he actually breaks through a window of the RV and he's hanging by his feet front first on the grill, just like, you know, arms opened up. It was a great scene.
That was my favorite day ever in show business of all time because they had stunt people for myself and the and the actor who played my partner in crime.
Right.
And sometimes they did stunts, but that particular stunt, there was no way I was going to let anybody else do that. And I spoke to the director. He actually approached me about it because it wouldn't look as good if it was a different person. It's just hard to fudge that. It just looks better if it's the real actor doing
right.
it. But there was no way I was not going to do it. Because when you're an actor and you're on a job like that, you always think it's the last one you're going to ever have. So it's like, no, this was a dream come true for me. In my mind and in my heart, I might as well have been in a Star Wars movie. That's how exciting the whole thing was for me. So I wanted to do that stunt. I was like, you're gonna hang me upside down from an RV and you're gonna drive it into the camera. It's like, who wouldn't want
to
do that?
Yeah, no need to be stoned to do that. I guess.
No, exactly.
Talk about addiction.
Yeah, that'll wake you up real fast.
Give me 10 oxycodone.
and we did it. I think we did it. We did it only twice,
and it depends.
Yes, and it was so much fun. That was my absolute favorite.
How did you get the role, Michael? Did you audition? Did somebody see your previous works? Because you've been. What other movies have you been in?
I had been in a very low budget vampire movie before then.
It sucked.
Basically that nobody ever heard of. But during that time, I was writing and performing in a sketch comedy group with Fred Willard, the comedy actor.
Oh, okay.
Fred Willard, and that was where I got seen by a friend who knew an agent who recommended me to go on this audition. But the audition story is, it's the director was at the audition. The director is usually not at the audition. It's usually just the casting director who reads the actors, weeds them out, and then sends like four or five people to the director. But that's not how this went. So I showed up at this audition. I didn't want to go, and I don't even know why I was in such a bad mood. And I walked into this beautiful casting office, and there's all these like big name TV actors, you know, sitting there waiting to read for my part. So the second I walked in there, I was completely demoralized. I was like, I'm not going to get this part. It's like, they're just going to offer it to this guy or this guy. It's like, why am I even here? But I was there and I paid for parking. So it's like, I'll do this audition. But my attitude was that because I knew that there was no way I was going to get this part, I was just going to do whatever I felt like at the audition. I was going to do, because a lot of times at auditions, you're always trying to figure out what they might like. You're always trying to please other people. But this time I was like, screw it. I'm going to do what I think is funny. I'm going to ad lib, even if I get in trouble for it. I'm just going to do it. So I got up. I don't remember the ad lib, but I do remember adding in like Jedi stuff. Like I tried to hypnotize the dog by doing like the Jedi mind trick. And I just threw that in because I was just being, it was just being obnoxious basically. And there was a guy in the back who was cracking up. He thought that was really, really funny. I didn't know who the guy was.
Right.
And I went back to my regular day job that I hated. And I got a call about a week later. The guy in the back that was laughing at what I did was the director of the movie. His name is David Mickey Evans. He's the writer and director of Radio Flyer and a very famous movie called The Sandlot.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I The Sandlot. Yeah. Good, great baseball.
That David Evans. And he was the guy who watched the audition that I thought I just threw away. I thought I was just being a jerk. And he thought it was really funny. And he thought it was funny enough that when I got to the set on the first week of the set, he had made for me a Jedi robe because he wanted to add a scene and it's in the movie where I try to hypnotize the dog and do like the Jedi mind trick. And that was all from just me goofing off at this audition that I never thought I would get. So I think about that. It just makes me smile because you never know.
Right.
You never really know. And it was a great lesson for me in that you spend so much time as a performer or as an actor being a people pleaser. And you don't even realize how far down that rabbit hole you go until you get into a situation where you're just like, let me try something that I want to do. Let me forget about what I think is going to be funny and just do what I think is funny. So that was a huge lesson for me.
Well, I think that's a great lesson, even in recovery as well. I do, because of the fact that we all try to please everybody, because none of us like to be judged. And when you actually just were yourself and said, you know what, I'm just going to go for it, and then everything just worked in your favor just by being yourself.
It's a big part of, I'm sure that you know this as a musician, it's a big part of performing, and you don't realize how much of a hold it has on you, that you are a people pleaser. You do want the crowd to like you. You want the people to laugh. You want them to like your music. You want them to respond.
Right.
Somebody said to me one time, all musicians are narcissists, just for that reason.
Right.
Yeah. For that reason.
Absolutely.
And there absolutely is something to that. But there's a fine line where you have to get to a place where, and that's just with time and with practice, where you get to a place where you're comfortable enough with yourself that you can try some outlandish things, and they might land, they might not. I mean, early on, I used to do stand-up comedy, and I was terrible at it. I wasn't good at it, but it taught me how to get up in front of people and present myself and tell a joke, and it taught me how to survive a joke not working and a joke not landing, and it taught me how to survive people not liking you and people being openly hostile toward what you were doing. You know, that will... It actually helps. It's very, very painful in the short term.
Right.
But, you know, years later, I realize I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now with the books if I hadn't had those experiences.
One of the things I talk about on Rock on Radio often is exactly what you just said. You know, you never know who's in the room. There could be three people at a gig, but you don't know who one of those three may be. And this was case in point. The director was there. You had no idea it was a director. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good for you.
I know. That's exciting. It's really exciting.
Tell us how you felt when you got that call. I thought it was a joke? Or
At first, I did think it was a joke because my agent at the time, we had a running joke because I wasn't getting things, and she used to call me basically, and I'd pick up the phone and be like, I didn't get it. You know, that was always the thing. I didn't get it. You don't even have to call. It's like, I know I didn't get it. And I picked up the phone and I said, I didn't get it. And there was this really, really long pause. And she said, you got it. Show up on Tuesday. You know, she was giving me all of these details. And that's when I thought she was joking because it was so detailed. Right. I was like, she's messing with me.
Did she give you the name of the therapist to get over the fear of the dog? Because not only getting into a dog movie, but no less a St. Bernard.
She didn't know that I was afraid of dogs. Because when you're an actor and you audition, you're always supposed to say yes to everything. It's like, can he ride a horse? Yeah, he can ride a horse. Then it's like, Michael, can you ride a horse? It's like, I'll figure out how to ride a horse. So she didn't know that I was afraid of dogs, and I never told her. I just went and I was like, I'm going to do this job. I am not going to mess up this opportunity.
Isn't that a quote from the guy from Virgin Airlines, Richard Branson? Then isn't that what he says? If they ask you if you know something, always tell them yes, then figure out how to get it done.
This is true.
Wow. That's a quote that maybe United should, you know, apply.
We do this every month on our show. We just, you know, improvise.
Correct.
Think about it.
We are, we're not Second City, that's for sure. We are the improvs.
This is true.
Now, does that ever cross over your acting with your writing in the books, in the series? Or
it does, in the sense that when you're writing and drawing, because the majority of the time is literally drawing, and when you're drawing these things, you're really performing them, because these characters, they're very expressive, they're very Italian, they're very loud, they're very melodramatic, and sometimes to get to that place, you have to act it out. I'll act out things in front of a mirror alone, and then I'll realize like a certain face I'm making, and then I'll apply that when I'm drawing. So it definitely comes in handy having a performing background. Sometimes it's almost too much. Sometimes I have to even tone some of the stuff down because it's a little over the top, even for a cartoon.
For a cartoon.
So you actually do all the illustrations yourself then?
Yes.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, and that's the bulk of the work. It's... Once I figured out the story and I've written the story down and I've written it out scene by scene, I do the dialogue is the last thing that I write. I always write the story, then the scenes, you know, but not the dialogue. I write the action that has to happen in the scene. In other words, she has to get from point A to point B. And so I'll draw that scene I'll have a vague idea of the dialogue in my head, but I never know what the dialogue is going to be until I'm literally, until the drawings are colored and processed. And I'm,
oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm actually working on the page. And that's just the way that it worked out. And I find that for me, that's when the best jokes come. That's when the best references come, because I'm a lot looser because I've already done the scene. I know where it's going, so I don't feel that pressure of, oh my God, what's next? So I can really kind of relax and concentrate on the dialogue.
Very cool.
I love it. It's a very interesting process, you know.
And it was all hit or miss. It was all just like learning on the fly. And I don't know other people that do it that way, but it's just the way that I do it. It's the way that works for me. And I know it's different for everybody.
Yeah. But that's about everybody's journey. Yeah, it's different.
Right. That's the whole thing about creativity, you know. Yours is no less than mine and no different or better, you know. It's just we all want the same thing, we just all go about it in a different way. How many times, well, you really weren't turned down by a publisher because you did this on
right, we self-published. Space, right. We self-published, and my mom is the one who made this happen.
How many times as an actor, though, did you get rejected before you...
Countless times. I couldn't even tell you how many times. And it gets to a point where it's almost funny. You know, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny. But I always... But my saving grace was always that I performed for years in that Fred Willard sketch comedy show with Fred and his wife. And that was always my... That was a very comforting place to be, because you would show up on a Monday night and you got to write your own material. You could write for other people, you could write for yourself, but I would come in with a sketch, and by that Friday, you were possibly doing that sketch on a stage in Los Angeles, and you were in it, or a friend who was an actor was in it. That made up for so much of the day-to-day rejection. The fact that my material was getting seen, and it was getting performed by people like Fred Willard of that caliber.
That's gotta make you feel good inside.
It makes you feel great and
proud.
Yeah, and it doesn't. I thought initially it might make you feel a little bit lazy because you're like, well, Fred Willard can make anything funny, and he can make anything funny. But you actually work harder because you want to impress him. You want to give him the best possible stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
it's a great journey. It's a great story that you have.
And most definitely.
Absolutely. I'm just glad he's here. I'm just still not over Beethoven's Third. I'm sorry. I really loved the movie. Did you see it?
No.
I can lend it to you.
Okay.
I can lend you all five.
Thank you.
And then there's like three more.
Okay. I have one problem, though.
Yes.
I do not have a television.
That's actually a good thing.
Actually, I can watch it on my laptop, I guess.
That's how I did it.
There you go. I can do that. I have technology. I just don't have a television. Actually, my TV died in 2013. I never.
And you were just like, ah.
I was like, yeah. I've never watched. It's not my background noise. Yeah. You know.
Now he listens to meditation DVDs.
I do.
Yes,
he does. That you give him.
I do. That she gave me. That's right. Keeps me mellow. 609-241-7103. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left to the program. An hour goes quick, don't it?
Yeah, it really
It goes really quick.
The thought train just derailed. Yeah.
Are you having a senior moment? I'm having.
Ooh. What
He's
did I
in
say
vacation
before?
Mode. He's about to go on vacation. That's why.
Where are you going?
I'm going down to Myrtle Beach for a week of bad golf and good beer.
Awesome.
Here on the Addiction Network. We have counselors on call, right?
Yeah, I can just beat you. Yeah, you can call the hotline 24 hours a day.
I know. I'll call Kevin at home, wake him up. we are here at City of Angels Radio. COARadio.com. Please, Art, what are the websites and for people who have issues?
If you need help, you can go to cityofangelsnj.org, or you can dial 609-910-4942, and someone can help you and guide you into getting more information on your loved one, more information on addiction, or help with that.
Right. And the services that they provide here. I've seen them help a lot of people over the last...
It's a blessing. God, it really is a blessing that everybody's
years,
here.
I guess I've been involved in one way or another with this organization. It's a great thing. I've actually recommended several people to contact City of Angels. So How about you? Websites? How do we find Michael Ciccolini or the Pasta Family?
The website is thepastafamily.com. Pretty easy. And also, and all the books are also on Amazon.com. If you just go to Amazon and type in The Pasta Family, you'll get 22 entries of the 22 books. But they are also available on the website, thepastafamily.com.
The answer.
The answer.
The answer.
And Beethoven's Third is also on Amazon.
On Amazon, too? There yes. you go. Yes. Are you working on any movies now? Are you still doing that? Or are you concentrating mostly on writing?
I'm working on a film version of The Pasta Family Christmas book.
Oh, nice.
Yes, which I will be.
Do you have a studio interested, or are you freelance?
We have a company interested, and I won't be a part of it as an actor. I'll be a part of it as a producer and writer.
Okay.
And possibly co-director.
Right. Well, keep me in mind for voiceover work.
Yes, sure. Myself included, please.
Sure.
Yeah, we're available for your parties and functions.
There's a trailer. There's a 7-minute trailer on YouTube. I also think it's on the website for the Pasta Family Christmas special as an animated series and as an animated special, a one-shot special. And I used a bunch of friends from Los Angeles to do the voices. I flew out there and recorded their voices.
Oh, beautiful.
And my big brother John is he's also one of the voices. It became like a family thing because one of the characters in the Christmas book is like a New York kind of reindeer, and his name is Yonkers. And I and my brother John
Yonkers
did his voice. And so we have tons of outtakes of my brother that we couldn't use, just swearing and just saying the most non-family friendly things.
As Yonkers was riding to the Ranger game.
Yeah, exactly.
Some sausage party
exactly.
version.
Exactly.
Whoa!
Hello.
Vocal. We're excited. We have another phone call coming
I'm
in here.
So excited.
For Michael Ciccolini. Put him on the air there, Art.
Hello, you're on the air.
Beautiful. Who is this?
Hey, this is Jay Petzko. I just wanted to throw my blessings out there and let you guys know I'm listening to the radio and enjoying the show so far.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for calling. And Jay is a very big part of everything that we do. And Jay, if I may, he is our graphic designer that did all the kaleidoscopes on the DVD for the Extreme Chakra Cleansing for Supercharged Life. He also helps with websites, but also the infusion tea that I gave you, compliments of Jay.
Well, thank you, Jay, very much.
You're welcome. Keep the show up. Maybe someday I'll come up there and get involved in your shenanigans.
Well, that would be beautiful. Jay, I have to ask you a question, though. After I've watched this DVD many times, the Extreme Chakra Cleansing, did you have a Spirograph when you were a kid?
I used to love this.
Yeah, I'm that old to actually know what you're talking
See, that was... Because I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I've seen these before. This is fantastic. So,
that's some industry secrets on how we get that done, but essentially it's a fancy Spirograph.
That's a beautiful thing. That's great. I want to thank you for...
I just wanted to, say hi and let Marianne know I'm listening.
Oh, I really appreciate
that.
Shout
out to Richie, who's probably listening, too.
Yeah,
only one.
I think he's on an island somewhere. By the way,
yeah, finishing up another LP, right?
Yeah, right. He only wanted to he only wanted to say hi to you. He didn't care about me and Michael.
That's not true.
I don't care about
you. He spreads
That's
love.
That's right, Jay. We can handle it.
Love.
That could be a whole new contest.
Take care. Have a good one, guys.
All right, Jay. Thank
you, Jay,
buddy.
So much.
Thank you very
take
much.
Care.
And I just like to let you know, really quick, a quick shout out to Robert. If you know who that is, he's the owner of Salon Opus, who is trying to say hello via text messaging. So I just thought I would give him a shout out and a nice little plug for Salon Opus in White House Station, New Jersey.
Awesome haircuts.
Absolutely.
Friendly service.
He's a comedian in his own right.
How many siblings do you have?
Four.
Four.
I have twin sisters and two brothers.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Are they younger or older, the sisters?
I'm the youngest.
Oh, you're the youngest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have twin sisters who treat me like a child because I'm the little brother.
So they
I love
to, like,
it. I'm not complaining.
Dress you up for their tea parties?
They might as well. I have one of my sisters.
This is where your acting comes in.
One of my sisters, I'm not even kidding. When we go out to eat, this is my big sister. I'm not a child. She reads the menu to me. Like, she'll be, but we have salmon, and we have, I mean, she'll read the menu. She does this all the time. Like, I'll never not be the little brother.
Well, maybe because she wants you to pronounce it as escargot instead of escargots.
And she wants me to say gravy instead of sauce.
Escargots? East Cargots.
Just kidding with you.
Good Lord.
I can't help it. Sorry.
Oh, God. So you got the book going on. You got the Christmas movie that you're working on, developing. Is that the proper industry term?
Yes.
Developing.
Yes.
Okay.
In development.
In development.
That sounds awesome.
Whoa.
We have another caller.
We have yet another call. They all wait till we got like 2 minutes to the show left.
That's okay.
They're running out of time. That's okay. Go ahead. We may actually go over time.
This is fantastic.
Who knows?
Absolutely.
See? We'll see. Oh, right on the air. There we go. Hello. Welcome to the Health and Wellness Hour. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Tim. I'm calling from Virginia Beach. I realize you're about to wrap up the show. I just wanted to say thanks, and I look forward to hearing your show again. I was wondering when again I can listen to it, and I plan on calling in at a later date and earlier date.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you very much down in Virginia Beach. Tim, Art, when will this be available?
You can go to coaradio.com, and all of the past shows are available to listen to on demand. And then when is our next schedule? We'll be in May, right? We do one shot, yes. Live show a month.
It's the last Wednesday of May.
Which is the 31st.
Which is May 31st, which will be our next show. And this week we just did a special Wednesday night because...
Because I'm abandoning the ship, Tim. I'm getting ready to go away on vacation.
He'll drive through.
I'm going down to Myrtle Beach, Tim. How far in to Virginia Beach are you? You want me to deliver something personally?
Come on down. I appreciate the show, and I didn't know I can listen to past episodes. I'll do that. Thank you.
Yes, you can. Do you have a question for our special guest, Michael Ciccolini?
No. Me and my wife are sitting here listening to the show, and long story short, we have a heroin-addicted daughter that we're basically tried to blue in the face, expensive rehab, everything, and coming to the point where she's got no place to live, and we're feeling kind of guilty as parents. We're not enablers, but I don't know, just to hear and to pick people's brains, it sure helps, and I look forward to listening to some of your shows.
Oh, thank you very
actually,
much.
Actually, while you're listening to some of the on-demands, go and listen to Living Clean and Sober as well as Saving Lives. I think you'll get a lot of good information from those.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for calling in.
Tim, thank you for calling, and we wish you the best of luck with that situation of yours down there, which is
sure.
City of Angels. As there's a very sobering a section of that has to do with the youth that they've helped here, and it really, you know, puts a lot of things into perspective. So we wish you the best of luck, and we hope it all works out. And please feel free to give this show a call anytime you want.
Thanks, guys. Very good. Thank you.
Bye. All right.
Thank you.
There you go.
Good night.
That's it. We got to wrap it up. Right, Art? Okay. Well, again, Michael, thepastafamily.com.
Yes.
What are, off the top of your head, other movies that you were in besides the one, the vampire movie that you didn't, that will remain nameless?
I was a guest star on the Andy Dick Show on MTV.
Oh, no kidding.
All right.
Yes. And Army of the Dead, a horror movie.
Okay, I remember that one, actually.
Yes. And nothing else that I would mention in Mixed Company.
Your short film? It was a trivia question. Was a trivia question?
Well, I thought you... Oh, never mind. I went somewhere else totally with that.
Yeah. Nothing like that.
Nothing you can't mention on the air. You say, was it a short film? I'm like, hey. No.
Nothing that's going to pop up on Cinemax.
No pun intended.
Sexamax?
Well...
Are you red, Miss Marianne? Go ahead.
Sunburn. Well, we thank you so much for coming on as a guest
and
raising awareness for City of Angels as well. And just thank you for what you do with the children's books and the movie career and just being you, getting the message out there and helping a lot of people. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yes, Michael, thank you very much for gracing us with your presence and your knowledge. And we wish you the best of luck on the books. and with the acting and all that fun stuff. And we really appreciate you making the trip down from Newark here today.
Thank you.
Well, not bad, right? Exit 8, you're here in like 5 minutes.
It was easy.
See? Okay. You got to love the Jersey Turnpike. Art! You all right, bud?
I am.
All right.
Yes.
Well, we're going to take it out. Again, thepastafamily.com. Michael Ciccolini, Google him, look it up. Google is your friend, or so I'm told. And we'll see you next month.
We'll see you next month. And we'll close the show with Rich Talanda and Flying Dreams.
Ooh. There we go.
Good night, everybody.
Travel towards a familiar future where dreams are turned to come.